Okay, so welcome everyone from me. So the first part of our task together is actually to really be sustaining and developing a sense of welcome. So I really hope you do feel welcome to be here and be here as you are today. Not a feeling is, oh, if only I were like this, I could be welcome here. Then, yeah, it's really, absolutely everyone is welcome here. And I'm sharing that on behalf of our lovely team. And we met Luce on the part of the coordination. Aubrey is here running the deck to keep our connection online and in person together, and everyone being able to access everything that we need here. And Andrew is in the building remotely, also doing his part to hold this all together. So in a way, that's also naming and welcoming that, you know, those online can only see me, but behind your camera is a lovely group of beings here in the hall. And lovely beings in the hall, what you can't see, also in this moment I can't see, is this lovely wider group of Sangha community that we're practicing with together. So at any moment when we're practicing, there's always a lot more than we can see going on internally, externally, and also in our wider community. We could say it's really hard to practice on our own. We could mean that in two ways. One is, yeah, it is much more difficult to practice on our own, but actually it's really hard to actually practice on your own, to get up early enough where someone else isn't already meditating, you know, or all of that. So in terms of this has caught on quite considerably in its thousands of years of practice, and we're joining in, feeding in, tuning in. And I hope we're doing that with a sense of welcome, welcoming. So many of you will have chosen to come to this because the date worked, you know, probably the title of the retreat and the description, you know, has very little meaningfulness, but I called it Wide and Deep just to really pull in the crowds now, because it means a lot to me to have a sensibility of actually widening and deepening. And in the description, I was trying to give this sense of this isn't about a narrow conformity, you know, like just picking our way through the situation of our lives so that we can, you know, be okay. But actually a sensibility that this is a really wide path, a really deep path, and there's room for all of us in every way. Yeah. At other times, separate from this, we might feel, you know, the impact of the world that we're living in. People talk about compassion fatigue, you know, or burnout, when we open our hearts wider to actually the really difficult and often tragic, devastating, painful state of the planet, state of our lives sometimes as well. Yeah. Is it possible that actually that opening wide can be done in a more sustainable, more nourished way? Yeah. So we go wide, but we don't spread ourselves too thin. Yeah, you could say it that way. At other times, we might really be interested in the depth, deepening into our experience, getting sensitive, tuning in. And because of that, we tend to kind of turn away from the wider world. Yeah, or we actually cut off parts of ourselves. Yeah, we could talk a bit about wholesomeness of this path, the whole. The whole is in the way that we meet it is much more significant, yeah, than what we find there. Okay, the way that we meet ourselves, meet the world, meet experience. That's what we mean by deep. Has a deep meeting with this, yeah, not an exclusive meeting. So, very brief kind of glance into what I was thinking about when I put that together, and that's going to be kind of the flavor of this day. Is it, there's a lot here that we could do, but I really just want to say, just have a look in there, that goes off down there. You could explore just those two senses, you know, wide and deep, and we'll come back to them, but enough of that for now. Actually, what I'd like to do now in this opening part, which is going to be about 20 minutes altogether. Yeah, so another 15 minutes of this bit. Then we're going to have some practice together. Is to hear from you, actually. So you've decided to be here, some at home, some in Devon, in Gaia House, some maybe have taken up a different place, not their home, to practice, to be away in a supportive place, to come to a supportive place. What's motivating you here to do this? Yeah. You can ask this question any way you like. Why am I here? What am I looking for? The question I like to encourage in this moment, yeah, is so firstly, you don't have to believe that anything is possible, okay? But let's just believe that anything is possible, just for a moment, yeah? Just try it on, as if it's like borrowing a coat from someone. Yeah? Just try that on, see how it fits. If you were able to create or cultivate or work towards some beautiful quality, what would it be for you? What would today's exploration be in service of? If you imagine, maybe there'd just be a little bit more of this. That'd be a good outcome, yeah. Okay, whatever came, it's great, okay? I would say that's always quite an important question. In today's setting, with the wide and the deep, is actually going to become quite crucial, yeah, like a crux, yeah. We can make it really radical, which would mean it's rooting down into the deep, yeah, and hopefully from there it's spreading out wide. So if you're happy to, I'd like to invite some of you to share those, yeah. If you're in the hall here, in this type of hall, the Devon one, feel free to just say it out. Hopefully we can crystallize it into a word or two or three. If you're online, online as I'm looking at you, just pop it in the chat and Aubrey will share a few of those as well, so that we can just have a moment of shared intentionality. So I know it takes a bit of courage to say these kinds of things and speak into big spaces, but just a real encouragement for those who are willing to, you're very welcome to. So yeah, any movement there? What would you like to cultivate, create, discover?
Less judgmental.
Less judgmental, thank you. I'm going to repeat them so that they come through the space, yes.
Open my heart to love.
Open my heart to love, thank you. Take one more in the hall, we'll see if we have anything online. Yes. Awake stillness. Thank you. Great.
So online we have self-love, unjudgmental love of self and others, sensitivity.
Deeper listening to oneself and others and putting down the trying to fix. Thank you. Yes.
Respect.
Acceptance. Do we have more? Yep.
Great. Presence. A clear understanding and compassion. Forgiveness, acceptance of the present moment in every moment.
Nice. Great. Is there one or two still want to come out, or you don't have to, of course. Yeah.
Inner peace.
Inner peace. Good? Okay. So remember them, whatever it was that came, spoken, unspoken, or heard. Yeah, you can mix in someone else's intentions with your intentions, make a intentions cocktail, shake it up, and have a little drink of that every once in a while, especially if it feels hard or just a little bit challenging, or we feel, oh, I've lost my steer, I'm not quite sure where I was going with this practice. And I don't mean that lightly. I think that that often happens for us. Yeah, particularly if someone sits on a chair and is given a mic and starts giving instructions. It's like, okay, now I'm following the instructions, because that's what we tend to do. And we may forget, well, actually, why am I here? Oh, it was for inner peace. And now I'm following these instructions, which actually don't construct that very well. Maybe I should adapt them, change them, or take up something else. So at any time, I will be offering instructions, but at any time, feel free to follow what works for you. Yeah, make the most of this day for yourself. We don't have to fit in with each other. The way that we do have to fit in, though, is actually in accordance with the ethics of Gaia House. So Gaia House is set up around Buddhist ethics, and just to mention those very briefly, many of you will know these things called the five precepts. And I stumbled over my own words there, because actually I don't tend to call them the five precepts. I call them the five gifts, which is the way they were also described in the teachings. They're things that we give. We give the sense of safety, of respect, of wise speech. So if you're happy, I'll just share them. This is not an official reading. I see in my notes, I seem to have just completely made them up myself. I don't know if these came from someone else. But yeah, to undertake the training, this is quite commonly said, yeah. To undertake the training to refrain from taking or diminishing life. Yeah, taking life or diminishing life. So we're not going to kill anything today, and we're not going to injure it in harmful ways, if we can, yeah? So we're taking up the training towards that, yeah? If we just flatly said none of that anymore, then it would be actually quite difficult to exist, yeah? To eat any of the food that's been offered here, yeah, will in some way have been causing harm to someone somewhere. But anyway, we take up the training to refrain from taking or diminishing life. We undertake the training to refrain from taking what is not freely offered. Yeah, so you really want to see, okay, was this offered? Okay, then I'll take it. I'll take it up. We're willing to undertake the training to refrain from harming by way of a thoughtless pursuit of sensuality. Yeah. And that can at times just realize, oh, I found myself objectifying someone. Yeah, they become an objection, object of my fantasy or something like this. But we could also see that about, you know, excessive indulgence in other forms of sensuality. Yeah, seeking sensory pleasure. This is actually a path of finding a deeper happiness than is available through the sensory accumulation of things. The fourth way is we undertake the training to refrain from divisive or pointless talk. Yeah. So on the one hand, we have divisive speech which divides. Yeah. And there's also just the blah blah blah. So try and stop the blah 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 speaking. It will continue, in my experience. My mind's still going blah, blah, blah about diversive. Diversive? What are you trying to say? So the mind does this, yeah, and it's helpful, it's beneficial. We'll speak a little bit more about that in a moment. But if we find ourselves speaking to ourselves in harsh, critical, unkind ways, can we just say, come on, take a break. Let's try something else. And practice kindness there, yeah. So it's pointful, it's purposeful, and it's not divisive, agitating, conflictual. And we also undertake the training to refrain from intoxicating our hearts and minds. So we're really going to put down inputs. Yeah. And we can take this quite far on a one-day event like this, really just give up reading and writing altogether. Yeah, not taking in more information as much as possible and really settling into our experience here. Just to run through those again, in the positive, we actually undertake the training to create the conditions for life to flourish freely. Yeah. For the possibility of giving what is most precious. And what is most precious? Yeah, love, kindness, beautiful attention, sensitivity. For respecting individualities, yeah, supporting justice, respect for everyone. For cultivating the harmonizational expressions of thought and speech. Yeah. It's possible to actually harmonize your experience through how you guide this heart and mind and its intellect. Yeah. And to also undertake the training to create the conditions for clarity and honesty and also self-confidence. Perhaps if I were to frame this day in this moment and think, what would I like to do today? Is actually to frame this whole practice as the building of self-confidence. Confidence in oneself and confidence in the wisdom of these teachings and confidence that it's possible for you. Now I'm naming those, but actually they're also really evident and they were also implied through all of the intentions that we shared. Yeah, no one said, my intention for today is more greed, aversion, and delusion. Yeah, that would be kind of unusual. We don't tend to favour those and pick them out as, you know, they're the qualities I really want today to be remembered for. But if we're not careful, we have our habits. Yeah, we are evolved human beings, and it's been convenient and inconvenient in equal measure, probably, to be a greedy and aversive and deluded human being. But that's not our aspiration, it's not our inspiration, it's often not our intention. So this morning part of the day is really going to be about settling and increasing sensitivity. Yeah. So I don't want to get in the way of that too much, but as in like add more words and ideas and things like this, but there's just a few things I'd like us to share an understanding in. Yeah. So I'm going to say a few things, and again, imagine that for some reason I've decided to show you around my kitchen, and I have lots of cupboards, I'm just going to open this cupboard and show you inside of this one, and then we're going to close it again, and if you don't get to see everything that's in there, it's fine, at least you know there was a cupboard there, we can come back to it later. So all experience is dependently originating. Oh, that's a cupboard, we're going to close that one again, okay. What I mean there is actually that experience depends on what we're paying attention to and how we're paying attention to it. Yeah, your experience in your life is a perception, yeah, and it depends on what you pay attention to and how you pay attention to it. Okay, you can recognize that cupboard's not just a couple of rows of cups, it goes pretty far back, but essentially what we do in meditation is we choose what we pay attention to and we choose how we pay attention. Particularly in regard to how we pay attention, I would say our intentions really matter there. So being clear about what my intention is. Yeah. Like I say, if you want inner peace, if you want acceptance, you have to practice that. It has to come through in the way you pay attention. The second thing that's helpful just to say is this isn't a path of abstract good ideas. Yeah. It's actually embodied experience of more harmonization, more gathering, more settling. And so that's going to be primarily where we're going to be going in the first parts of the day. It's also about acting with compassion and the courage to care in widening circles. Yeah, so we definitely want to include that sensibility. This is actually a path of widening our care, who we care for, what we care for, who we include. Yeah. Including parts of ourselves there. And it's also about deepening our understanding of how dukkha, stress, distress, suffering arises and how it fades, right? And we're going to be doing that by playing with our perception, playing with our view. Let's look at it this way, let's hold it this way, let's believe in it this way, right? We try on things in different ways. And each of those, if we take those as avenues, cupboards in the kitchen, they all play into each other. Yeah, actually all behind the scenes, they're all connected up. More wider compassion and care more deeper understanding of the way that happiness comes into and goes out of the world, yeah, and more harmonized and gathered well-being that there is for those who get to understand that and express it as they live, yeah. And all of that, again, bringing our confidence more and more into the world. So we are confidence building, hopefully, yeah, through the day, and confidence in the sense of possibilities. Different ways this experience could be if I were paying attention to different things in different ways, or the same things in different ways. Yeah. Understanding what makes an experience. And they definitely include widening and deepening. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to shift more into kind of a practice modality. So I do want to just say a few things about practice here. Is anyone here, can wave online or in person, if you're happy to, you don't have to reveal it. Anyone here who would say they're new to meditation, feel kind of new to it, or has everyone got a bit of a understanding? Yeah, great, that's good to know, great. Okay, it's very easy. What we do is we just stop being distracted and we just pay attention to our experience and the mind agrees never to wander away again. Right? Yeah. Yeah, everyone agrees with that. So, yeah, you just turn it off and you sit here in blissful happiness ongoingly. So, obviously, yes, that doesn't happen, doesn't tend to happen. We set good intentions and then we have to keep coming back to them. Part of the game of meditation is not to indulge in self-blame. Yeah? Even if you open your eyes, you look around and you're completely surrounded by perfected Buddhas and you really are the only one who's agitated, itchy, you know, whatever else. Unlikely, unlikely. They're putting a brave face on it. Good on them. We wish them well and we get back to softening, releasing, soothing ourselves. Yeah. This is a relatively short period of time in terms of like retreats that are offered at Gaia House, which often run into many days. So if you are used to practicing, but interestingly, even if you aren't, it might be happy, it might be helpful. It's interesting. I wonder if this is going to be one of those days where different words come out of my mouth. It might be helpful to consider this idea of keeping the balloon inflated. Okay, so balloons and happiness, I can see where the association came from. When we finish one type of practice and a bell rings, it can be, oh, made it. And that, oh, for me, is deflating the balloon, yeah? It's more like the bell rings, it's like, oh, what have we cultivated? What's here? Let's have a look. Oh, it's a bit more calm than there was before. Let's see if we can't deflate the balloon. We're actually going to take that calm now out and do some maybe walking practice with that calm, yeah, or whatever it is. And then when it's time to come back in, we've actually kind of kept those qualities going. You might say, like on the back burner of the stove, you know, just keep it going, keep it going. Then we come back in, there's still a bit here, we're not starting from zero, and it actually kind of builds up through the day. So that kind of sustained evolution in the practice can be quite a helpful idea. So a further image of it like a balloon is that you could imagine each time mind wanders away, oh good, good chance to practice patience or creativity or whatever it is I'm doing, little blow into that balloon. And as you know, if you're blowing up a balloon, there's kind of two ways of blowing up a balloon. One is to stick the balloon in your mouth and don't use your hands, in which case you have to somehow continuously be blowing in. But no, what we normally do is squeeze and then we squeeze. So when we leave a meditation place, we walk out like this. We don't literally walk out like this, but figuratively like this, holding that, keeping that balloon inflated. And when it deflates, we breathe in again. And what we're breathing in there, I would say, is our intentionality. Yeah, so the intentions really matter. Yeah, the mind's going to wander. Okay, and if it wanders to places which feel really unkind and unhelpful, we can practice kindness and helpfulness with that, yeah. Let's not get in a fight with a mind that wants to think, but actually instead create more interest in the breath, in the sounds, in the body sensations, in the direct experience. And I will offer some suggestions of how we could find that more interesting. But I would say it's in two ways. One is, it actually is more interesting than you think to have body sensations. I mean, that's wow. If you don't think it's wow, we'll take them away. Like Guy House has the body sensation removal device, and you can go home without them, and we'll use them with someone who is going to appreciate them, for goodness sake. So they are interesting, pretty amazing things to occur to a human being. And secondly, we can actually use the Sudoku principle, which is that Sudokus are not inherently interesting. It's not inherently interesting to draw numbers in boxes, yeah? But some people find it really fascinating and will flick to the back of their newspaper full of news about the rest of the world and just fill in numbers or whatever. So we can utilize the fact that the mind likes to solve puzzles and say, yeah, you are really good at thinking about that past event, which was very, very painful. But right now, I wonder if you could actually be with three breaths. Yeah, you heard me, three. And all the in-breath, all the out-breath, three times. Could you do that? You couldn't, could you? And it's like, but like, of course I can, you stupid. And then we train it. Well, that was pretty good. I'm impressed. Do another three. You couldn't do three after you've already done three. It's like, kiss. And slowly we start to get this kind of mindful experience developing, gathering momentum. Yeah. Mind's going to wander again, go off into different places, and that's a good thing. We want to have a mind that does that. Yeah, this is not lobotomy training or something equivalent to that, but actually how we can be a full, evolved, emotional human being. Yeah, the path is wide enough for all of this, however we show up, but it's also cultivated by playfulness and patience, yeah, and persistence. Yeah, all of those together. So, we want to notice where the mind goes. We want to notice, oh, it's gone there. But we don't want to work out why it's gone there. That's just further thinking. Yeah, so I feel agitated today. Or like I noticed, oh, I'm a little bit more clumsy, falling over my words a little bit today. Oh, good. Pay attention to that. Yeah, public speaking to a certain degree. Take it slow. But don't, you know, go off over-analyzing that. Stay on the task at hand, which is cultivating, harmonizing, settling. So let's go into this. I notice there's kind of clusters a little bit further back. If you feel overcrowded at any time, there's cheap tickets on the front row and other places around if you feel more comfortable there. But generally, once you've found your spot, well, at least don't take someone else's spot, let's say that. Yeah, if someone's already set up there, but feel free to be where you would feel comfortable to be. I'll say a few words about posture as we settle in. But if you're not used to sitting for a whole day, I would say you may need more cushions than you think. Meditation, despite the popular posture of statues, has got absolutely nothing to do with sitting on the floor. So unless you love sitting on the floor and it's your practice, it's what you're really into, don't feel you have to do it, especially if it's more painful. You might find a chair more beneficial, and if we run out of chairs, we'll get more chairs. So do feel free to sit in a chair. Generally, the body enjoys kind of relatively symmetrical sitting shapes. So if you do choose to sit cross-legged, then you have a responsibility to your body, I would say, to put one leg in front of the other or on top of the other, and the kind of alternating those, yeah, so that there's less strain all on one side. But you can decide for yourself. I'm not taking command of how you treat this body, which isn't really yours, but it's something that you're meant to be looking after on behalf of nature. You could have that view if you want, yeah. So if you feel you would like a little stretch, feel free to have a little stretch, and we'll have about half an hour practice in the hall where I'll drop in a few suggestions and things we can work with over the morning. So if you need more cushions, more support, or to find a slightly different way of being in the hall, feel free for all of those things. And then we'll settle in. And if we think about kind of three key areas we're going to be working with, which is, the first one is actually just noticing. So you can just notice, how does the body feel? How does the intellect, the mind, the activity there, how's that doing? How's the emotional quality, the mood? Okay, it doesn't have to be any particular way, which is part of what it means just to notice it, in a sense, more than to judge it. And the second quality we can tune into is a sense of opening. That opening might involve a resting back, it might be leaning forwards. See if you can explore, where would the center alignment for you be? If you imagine the spine moving forwards, backwards, left, right. Balancing the head above the torso. Of course, some of you will be reclining, some of you may be standing at this point in the stillness practice period, which we're open to all kinds of postures. So, if you can, just translate what I'm saying in that way. Opening may also mean relaxing the face. Actually, the face can kind of open. Maybe it's being held in a bit tight. Opening can also include a relaxation of the shoulders, opening of the chest. Might include rolling back the shoulders, wiggling out the neck, and releasing the palms. Then we're not just collapsing, but actually noticing as we open out and relax here, there's a tone in the body. Even a tone that's beyond kind of physical, it's just a way that the body holds itself together, and maybe holds itself upright in space. So if the mind wanders, it's helpful to go through this process. Notice how the body is, notice how the mind is, notice how the heart is, so to speak. And then we just open, aligning, relaxing, and attuning to this underlying tone of energy, of presence, of awareness through the body. And then the third quality, noticing, opening, it's welcome. Welcome presence into the body or into the sound sphere, and in return welcome those sensations into the mind, into awareness, or those sound vibrations. Getting to know. So for these stillness practices, it's worth having more or less one or just one or two intentions. And at any one time, one intention. What are you going to pay attention to? The breath, maybe? that movement of physicality as air enters, remains, departs. Body's more or less without air, and then it rose back in, returns. We might pay attention to the breath as this kind of movement, feeling it flowing in, deepening down, flowing out. It could be that we rest the attention in one location, the nose, the throat, the belly. Notice its arrival, its departure. We may be going with the whole flowing movement. Different intention might be to be working with the sounds. Here we may notice we're in here listening out to the sounds, left, right, above, behind. That sense of welcoming, oh, this and then this, this one. Or if we're taking that intention to be with sounds, it might be more beneficial actually to recognize that that whole horizon of awareness is where sounds occur. This big wide space is listening sensitivity out to the most distant, into the most intimate and quiet. So from that, selecting what your practice is going to be, and we'll just see. Maybe for the length of the next three breaths. Particularly noticing the arisings, particularly noticing the in-breath. Letting the rest of the breath happen by itself. And just rest. If the mind follows the breath, follows the sounds, it's fine. If it doesn't, it's fine. Let's do another three breaths. Again, just the in-breaths or equivalent duration with the sounds. And you can find your own rhythm, how often you wish to invite another three breaths of attention, clarity, sensitivity, and how much you want to rest. Really could be, do three breaths, three breaths, three breaths. Could we do three breaths, just rest, pause, let life unfold, three breaths again. can include other parts of the breath. Other parts of the sounds. So obviously the out-breath, the fading of sounds. But we've also got, if we just pay attention to the moments where the breath isn't really moving, but it's fully in. We're letting the rest of the breath unfold by itself. I'll leave you to explore this as a practice that you're making your own. And you can also step away from this as a modality for practice altogether. So notice the world you're in right now. For many of us, perhaps a world mind-made, what we might call distractions or mind wanderings. But certainly not a problem that the mind, the heart, the emotions, the awareness can richly create a world. But it might not be in alignment with our intentions. So we're not into focus for focus's sake. But it might be easier to cultivate our intentions, to shape our inner world by sustaining our attention with the breath, with the sounds, body sensations, with a sense of welcoming. With a sense of interest and sensitivity. How does a breath really feel? What's a body sensation really like when you're right there with it? What's that sound actually made of in terms of vibrations, frequencies, timbres? We can use just three breaths, just three sounds, whatever works to give us a handhold. Have that feeling it's okay to go slower. Maybe we breathe slower, breathe wider. Listen with less rush, more sensitivity, more depth. last few minutes, noticing, opening, relaxing, and welcoming in. Okay, so thank you. Thanks for your practice. We're going to move into a movement period. So maybe just a word about those terms on the schedule. So we have stillness practice, yeah, and movement practice. So that's just to kind of widen out the scope to include. So a typical schedule of the past would, the present too, perhaps, might say things like sitting or sitting meditation, sitting practice, and walking or walking meditation, walking practice. But, you know, you don't have to do walking. It's what's typically done in this tradition, but if you can't walk or it's not convenient to walk, then other practices are certainly available. And the important sense is that it involves some movement. It probably is a transition from a kind of an eyes closed, introspective type of practice in the stillness to something that's a bit more dynamic, world aware, eyes are open, awareness is taking in the visual, physical space, perhaps. So making it your own, making it what it is from there. So hopefully this way of naming the schedule feels more inclusive of beings and also inclusive of practices. So the stillness practice, you're very welcome to do it sitting or standing in here. If you're at home as well, you've got more freedom with the lying posture. We do ask with lying in the meditation hall in Devon, Guy House, that you just kind of check in with the teacher that that's kind of appropriate with, you know, what's going on for you. But if you're in physical pain or your situation requires it, then just let us know and we'll let you know it's perfectly fine. But we just like to have that layer of communication for other reasons as well, just your well-being is at the heart of it. So movement. So as I say, oftentimes we do it with walking. Walking's a nice, enjoyable activity to do. It's also insanely impossible to get bored of walking. What a thing to be able to do, to almost fall over and catch yourself time and time again, and to bring more sensitivity and amazement into that experience. Thich Nhat Hanh has this lovely phrase where he says, to walk on water is not the miracle. To walk at all, that's the incredible bit. Yeah, to be here, to be conscious, to be alive, to be, in this case, down in Devon under blue skies and occasional showers, or wherever it is, however it is, where you are, inside or out, it might just be an enjoyable way of spending some time with extra presence, extra sensitivity. And if we are going to do walking, we might want to include this kind of same principle as we took three breaths. Now, a little background to that, but we can do that with three steps. Yeah, maybe your path you're going to walk is 10 steps long, but what if you were really present with three steps and then let the rest just unfold? Increasing that intensity of practice actually means that we do it, yeah? Being with all of the steps for the next 45 minutes or being with all of the breath for the next 45 minutes is a big task to take on. We're probably going to fail from, but maybe we could do three. And then maybe we could do another three later on. And I realized for myself, I was catching a lot more breaths when I set a lower target. So it works for me and I share it with others. It may not work for you, and make it your own. Yeah, make it your own. That's the key point. But it's not just about walking as well. It could be, you know, just moving the hand up, back down. Could be that practice that we do. Yeah. Could be other ways of moving ourselves around the world that's actually supportive and sensitive for doing that. Could be yoga practice or Qigong or other things like that that's really kind of moving and supporting us. So why are we doing this? Just to sustain and to deepen sensitive attention in alignment with our intentions. Okay, so if you find something that works for you, go for that. One final point, just in relationship to walking, many times with the level of mindfulness coming into our bodies, they can get a bit rigid. Yeah, and we kind of like, whoa, walking on the moon, kind of walking, whatever. You can go with that if you want. I like to include more fluidity, dance, sensibility to that whole walking process. So walk forwards, walk backwards, walk sideways, whatever works for you, not walking, all of that. It's a movement practice and we can do it in ways that are enjoyable and also in alignment with our deepest intentions. Okay. So with that said, I'll leave you to explore how you want to be doing that. And we'll come back at 11:30 for a pretty much silent sit. I'll just drop in one or two phrases through there just to kind of help support the settling and alignment of the hearts and minds. Okay, keep your balloons inflated and enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.